Well, I'm excited today to bring update on Matthew 25 project that we introduced just about 2 months ago. And today we also have Dana Brennan from Illuminations. He's going to be sharing about our Bible translation project. And so we're going to let you know where that's at. But at the beginning of this year, 2025 is actually a very significant year for us as a church. And I don't think I really understood that at the beginning of this year. I did sense some stirring inside and really wasn't sure what it was, other than I knew that God was stirring something in us to how we could be more outward focused and kingdom minded as a church. And so we're trying to discern that. So back in February, let me just take you back there for a moment. Kelly and I and our leadership team and our board, we got together. We had a time of discernment to pray together. We read scripture. We discussed, we followed what Jesus taught about how to discern these kind of things. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there right in the midst. And so we just reminded ourselves, okay, Jesus is in the midst. What is he saying? What is his mind? What is his will? What is the wisdom that we can gain from him about what he's directing us to do? And so in that process of discernment, it took us to Matthew 25. And Matthew chapter 25, that might be surprising. Maybe you thought this project was named after me. It was not. Matthew 25, it took us to that. it takes a couple seconds. Took us to Matthew chapter 25. And Matthew 25 has two parables and this scene of the final judgment at the end of the age. Parable number one is all about urgency. Jesus is returning, so let the promise of his return shape our priorities today. Are we living with that level of urgency that Jesus is going to return? Parable number two is all about faithfulness. God has entrusted resources to us, time and money and skills, talents, influence, experiences, relationships, all of those things. How will we be faithful with them? How will we steward them to multiply them for his kingdom? That's parable number two. And then the final scene of judgment is all about compassion. How do we allow Jesus to transform us to be more like him and influence how we serve the least among us? And so we were looking at those kingdom realities and priorities in Matthew 25. And in that process, how do these three truths influence what we do as a church? How are we using what God has entrusted to us to advance his kingdom? And so through that discernment process, two main areas were highlighted for us. First one was elevating the value of life. Second one is elevating God's word. We value life because we believe life is a gift from God. He breathed right from the mother's womb. He breathed life into every child, every human being. And as long as we have breath, we will value life. We value God's word because God's word is our authority. God's word instructs us, corrects us when we drift, when we get off the path, and equips us for every good work he has for us to do. And so out of that process, Matthew 25 Project was born. And here's the purpose of this project. I'd encourage you to write this down. The Matthew 25 Project is a focused effort to align our church with God's kingdom. How can we align our lives and our church with what God's doing, not just build our own kingdom? So this is a tangible way for us to get in alignment with what God's doing. You know, God is moving, his kingdom is advancing. And I want to be about what God's kingdom is doing, not just what's going on in earthly kingdoms. So we have this God-sized vision, and we set a God-sized goal to give away $2 million over the next 2 years. And so I want to bring an update on how this is going. And in our staff meetings, we meet every Tuesday. And part of that staff, almost every week, we talk about wins. Right? What's a win? What's a ministry win? And a few months ago, one of our staff opened a staff meeting, Jessica Moister, and she said, instead of calling them wins, I want to call them glory to God moments. Because wins kind of imply that there was a loss somewhere. But a glory to God moment is this: whatever we celebrate, we want to give glory to God. Yes, he works through his people, but people, we do not get the glory and the praise and the honor. The glory goes to him. That he would use us and allow us to be part of his kingdom, he gets all the glory. So we're going to have some glory to God moments today. Is that all right? All right. So Sue Drasba, who's part of our board, right away, she was part of this meeting, she said, and she felt compelled by the Lord to be part of the smaller team to get this thing off the ground, this whole project. And so I just have loved her love for the Lord. I love her enthusiasm for this project. So I asked her to share for a couple minutes. So Sue, would you come up? Would you welcome her? And I just asked Sue, would you share one way being part of this project has impacted you spiritually and got you engaged with God's kingdom?
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. I have a question for you. Is the Matthew 25 project stirring something in your heart? Are you amazed at the ways that God's given us opportunities to be Jesus's hands and feet as we serve him by serving those around us in our neck of the woods? Well, last week, Pastor Matt talked about Jesus as the door, the invitation into his kingdom. And he said, God's reign advances through his people. And that's us. We are his people. And I believe that the Matthew 25 project is a vehicle that he has helped us develop to be able to do just that, to advance his kingdom. It's been an honor and such a blessing to be part of the planning group for Matthew 25 Project. I spent many years, 37, as a teacher and then a principal, and so I've had lots of meetings with strategic planning and curriculum writing and things like that. But nothing has prepared me for how beautiful this process of planning would be. And the reason that's so is because every meeting we had, Pastor Matt and the team invited Jesus to be right there in our midst. And it was so tangible that he was indeed. As we prayed and we talked and prayed and talked, his presence was with us as we came up with the areas of focus for the project and as we discerned which ministries to start with as partners in the project. I felt like I was in the front row of a show with an obedient church, receiving, accepting, and embracing God's invitation to us. And as Pastor Matt gave us our five-week sermon series on God-driven generosity and then unveiled the project in September, I could feel that through the church as well. The way one of our partners described their reaction to the project was jaw-dropping. That's a pretty good way to describe a God-given project. So about a month ago, we got to visit Align Life Ministry in Lancaster City. What a heart of Jesus we saw there. We were toured through the facility as if we were a new client coming in. A young woman with an unplanned pregnancy, afraid, confused, and seeking. They took us into an intake meeting, what it would look like, what it would feel like. They took us into the ultrasound room where we got to hear about the impact the ultrasound machine that we donated to their ministry for the Lebanon branch, how that has impacted decisions of so many young couples. Then we went into the rooms where they do the counseling and the classes. They have classes in prenatal care, in parenting. They have a fatherhood class. And they even have a group for the abortion recovery. So much love comes through this place and so much help for the hurting. Then we went into the happy room, the baby boutique. That's where a lot of the items that we donated during our baby drive a month or so ago have landed. And this is a place of joy for these young couples as they are able to spend their care dollars that they receive by going through the courses, going through their prenatal medical appointments and so forth. That's where they get to buy the cute little onesies and the diapers and the wipes and the formula and all those kinds of things. So again, quite the blessing. But now we have one more thing that we're adding to Matthew 25 Project. Beginning last Sunday, we have a prayer team. The prayer team will meet the second Sunday of each month between services in the prayer room, and anyone is invited to join us. Our prayer requests come directly from the ministries that we're partnering with, and we add our petitions to the Lord for the success of their programs. So, in short, this has just been an incredible journey. I feel like I'm seeing a very obedient church, one who has received, accepted, and embraced God's invitation to us to help advance his kingdom. And that's why Matthew 25 Project stirs my heart, and I hope it does yours too. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sue. The fact that you can remember something I said from last week's sermon is amazing, very inspiring. But thanks for sharing your heart. I love it. All right, let me give you some updated numbers. So we launched this in September and just of 2025. And let's have some glory to God moments. So Matthew 25 Project fund given to date is $560,000, has come in. I just, as a reminder, we're creating this fund to financially support the ministries and the organizations that are well equipped to help these, to help people in need. So we're not just creating a fund to just, what are we gonna do with this? No, it's specifically to fund different initiatives and organizations, ministries that are well equipped, they have a proven track record. And this is how, this is a kingdom mindset. We wanna come alongside ministries that are doing great work. So if you are in need, often we will direct you to these partnerships because of their expertise. And so that's how we want to partner with these kingdom ministries. So Align Life Ministries, one of our partners, we were able to give $29,000 towards an ultrasound machine for their Lebanon location. And we're also committing to give $10,000 per month toward renovations for their new Columbia location. And we're committing to that over the next 6 to 9 months at least, and we'll see, maybe longer. We did a fundraiser called Baby Bottle Boomerang. That's with our kids and students. So kids and students, they were taking empty baby bottles. They would take them home, fill them up with change that they had lying around, probably grabbed from their parents maybe, and then bring it back. About 189 bottles were filled from our kids and students. That brought in $4,054. Went right to Align Life. And then we also did a diaper and baby supplies collection for them. Over 800 donations came in, including cases and packs of diapers and wipes, baby supplies, clothing, formula, et cetera. A great response. And I got this email from Julie Baum from Align Life Ministries. She shared here back in September. And here's what she wrote, a portion of her email. She said, "Initially, we thought we could remove diapers from our wish list because your supply was so large. We thought we'd be set well into 2026. What we weren't planning on was the government shutdown lasting so long and the impact it's having on our clients and young families on SNAP in general. We've implemented a baby care essentials program. It provides 1 week's worth of diapers, wipes, and formula. We're also starting to get calls from former clients and anticipate calls from the community for help with these items. As a result, we're realizing we might draw down our diaper and wipes inventory faster than we anticipated. It hit us that God may have blessed us with material abundance through Worship Center for the time of scarcity he knew would be coming." He knows. We don't know. Our job is to be faithful and obedient, and his job is to meet those needs. That's with Align Life Ministry. Keystone Family Alliance, they support families who are in foster care. We were able to give $38,000 toward their annual budget, including a new staff position. So we're committed to covering the first year of that salary position. So we'll continue that support. so they can expand their ministry to many more families. So I got a note from Sarah from Keystone as well. Just a couple stats on the involvement from Worship Center. Said we have three advocates. An advocate would be someone who would coordinate a care team for a foster family. Three advocates have committed to leading the ministry from within Worship Center. It's a volunteer position. Over 50 individuals at Worship Center signed up to receive the list of tangible needs for these vulnerable families. So those needs go out, and then that list, they can choose what kind of needs they're able to meet. That's updated almost daily. And then 32 individuals expressed interest in supporting families or becoming a foster family themselves. And so we're praying for the Spirit to continue stirring people to foster. And I love what Sarah's vision is. When she was here, she said she sees a day when there will be more families ready to foster than children who need to be in a foster family. So I want to be part of that. And then a couple other glory to God moments. We have, we did it for CVCCS. We did a Thanksgiving food collection. 4,370 pounds of food were donated. Incredible response. I think it's one of the greatest responses we had from our church. We've done this over the last number of years. If you are in need of food, I would encourage you to contact CVCCS. Great organization. We'll be able to help you. CV Seeds, another ministry in our district here. We're doing a Christmas drive with them. From Matthew 25, we've been able to give $20,000. And that covers the cost for Christmas gifts for 100 children experiencing homelessness in our CV school district. And then we have Pack Hope event. That's coming up on December 6th. This is, again, something we've done the last few years. From Matthew 25 Project, we're able to give $50,000. That covers the cost of food supplies going to a very high security area in the Middle East. They actually don't share where the food is going because of the security risks. But I believe that supports about 150,000 meals, that amount. And over 600 volunteers signed up to serve at that event. It's a great event. And again, just want to say thank you for your participation, both in giving of your money and your time, making a huge difference. It's awesome. And so today, we want to introduce our Bible Translation Project, again, supported by Matthew 25 Project. We've already given $50,000 to launch the translation team, and we're committed to $22,000 per month to sponsor a complete Bible translation. And that will be completed sometime in the year 2027 to 2028. I hope it's 2027 because that's our 50-year anniversary as a church. That would be fun to see a completed Bible taken to this group of people who have not had a Bible yet. So we're really excited to have Dana Brennan here. He's chief mobilizer from Illuminations, coming all the way from Georgia. So would you welcome him as he comes? Dana's going to introduce this translation project, how it works, and then what the impact is. So awesome. Thank you so much being here.
It's a pleasure. What's up, everybody? Hello, Worship Center. Man, you guys stand true to your name. It has been awesome to watch and be a part of us worshiping the Lord together. I love your energy, joy, and enthusiasm, and that's exactly what I've been experiencing as I've been working with Sue and the team. And Matt, thank you guys so much. Man, you guys are leading with joy. You're leading with the Holy Spirit. Everything's been prayed over and intentional, and I love that, Sue. I love every time I talk to you, we've been praying as a team, and here's what the Lord said. And it's less about what we say and about what the Lord is leading. So thank you, church. You all get to be a part of that. There's been a theme today that I've noticed in Psalms 84, and it's been awesome to both worship and read from Psalms 84. And there's one of my favorite lines in there that it says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell outside in the tents of the wicked. And you all, I hope you know that, whether you serve or in a group or, but if you're sitting in these seats today, you are a doorkeeper. You're a door holder, some translations say, that is opening a door so that other people can experience the word of God. And there are people all over this world today that will live and die and never hear the gospel. In fact, there's a billion people currently that do not have full access to the gospel in their language. That's over 3,000 languages that have yet to be fully translated. And you as a church are saying, we're stepping into that. We're stepping into it in a big way. We're actually going to do a whole Bible for a people group. That's phenomenal. Just so you know, that's not normal. Some churches are sponsoring a book, or some churches are sponsoring some verses, but you guys are saying we are stepping forward in faith, like literally stepping forward in faith and saying we're going to cover from A to Z a whole Bible for people that as of a couple months ago, they did not have a path towards knowing the gospel. As of a couple months ago, there was no plan to put the word of God into their hands. And these are people, some of which have recently put their faith in Jesus and are desperately wanting God's word. They're asking for it. They're begging for it. And then there's some people in that community that are so far from Jesus, they don't even know that they need God's word. So Illuminations is an alliance of 11 partners. And these are all translating organizations that are doing great work. About 15 years ago, a group of these organizations came together and said, what would it look like if we all came together as an collective impact alliance to speed up this process? Because as of 15 years ago, it was going to be 2150 before all languages were being translated. That's a long time. So 15 years ago, those groups came together. They did some research. They did some more research over 10 years, over 5 years into that process. And now I can stand in front of you and say that by 2033, less than 8 years from now, all of God's word will be in languages in some form or shape within the next 8 years. That is phenomenal. The best part is that you're a part of that. Like, there's a lot of things we're going to be doing until Jesus comes home, right? We're going to be helping get water where it's not. We're going to be helping people that are in tough and dire situations. But there is one thing that hopefully in 8 years we can check off that list, and that is having God's word in people's hands for the very first time. We get to be a part of it. Your name, your family is a part of that movement. And so in all of that, I want to announce, I think for the very first time, your language that you guys have chosen. It is in Southern Thailand, in the context of South Asia, down in the Malay Peninsula, kind of Bangkok to Malay Peninsula. 1.5 million speakers speak this language, and it is called, do some little speech with me. It is called the Patani Malay. The Patani Malay. Some people say it may say Patnay, you may hear that, or Malay if you're getting real fancy. But to make it simple, it's the Patani Malay people group. And these are people that do not have God's word. And what's cool about it, it's called an unlocking language, meaning once this one is done, it unlocks about 50 dialects around it where the gospel essentially is right now is stuck. There's a lot of borders to where the gospel can move through languages. So by unlocking one for 1.5 million people, which is a big language, all throughout this area of Thailand, South Asia, it will be massive for the kingdom of God moving through this area. Like, it's a really, really big deal. I hope you guys know that. A lot of people ask about what's the how of scripture? How does this work? Well, essentially, we work with local indigenous leaders. So some of the days of like having to send people to be able to do this work, we do less and less of that because we're finding out they are absolute subject matter experts, indigenous-led ministries and churches in some of these areas that have already broken ground, that have already paved a way to be able to do this work. So we are working with local leaders, employing them, helping them put them on teams. And I even have some updates from one of the team members that sent me kind of an update of the team last night and this morning. I'm going to read some of that in just a moment. But this is I'm telling you, this is like a language that is a big deal. It's one of the coolest ones I've ever put in front of a church partner. And so I'm really grateful that you guys are saying yes to that. So here's just some words real quick from the team that I wanted to read directly for you guys. All right, are you ready? Okay, they said, God is already working while the translation is still in progress. We've started about a month ago, and right now the team is actively translating the books of Mark and Luke. There are local women, as we speak, gathering in homes to review the early drafts of Luke together. They're giving feedback, wrestling with the text, and joyfully engaging scripture in their own language, and maybe some of them for the very first time. You see, the team has incredible energy, and two of the translators are already believers. So the reality is not all of these translating teams are made up of believers, but it's a growing amount of believers that are doing this work, thankfully. Our post editor is a Muslim, and we're discipling her daily as we all work together. And then recently, one of the Muslim translators shared something beautiful as she's coming to put her faith in Jesus and getting closer every day. She said that as she translated these gospel chapters, she felt personally challenged, and the stories made her reflect on her own life choices. She's now sharing these life principles with her family, with her friends, and with her community. You see, this isn't just a translation project. This is the Spirit of God moving through people that you are flaming this fire to move throughout this region, and lives are being changed already. And it just started. People are coming to faith that have been rooted in another faith their entire life. That by putting their faith in Jesus, they are putting themselves in danger. Like in danger and being publicly baptized, that's a big, big deal. So that's awesome that this is already starting. Some of the prayer points I'll pass along to the team, but essentially just want to leave you with one other piece of scripture. And I want to challenge you with the words of Paul out of Romans 10, verse 14 and 15. And I want you to think about these questions that he asked, because they're questions we need to ask ourselves. Romans 10, 14 starts off this way. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. And that is you guys that are bringing the good news.
Thank you so much. So when you give toward Matthew 25 Project, a portion of it will go towards this, putting God's word in the hands of someone who does not have it. I want to close our time today by reading Matthew 25. Again, Matthew 25 is a focus effort for us to align our church with God's kingdom. Matthew 25, verse 31. Jesus says this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. The kingdom of God is advancing. And it's advancing through people who are simply serving the least. I first allowed Jesus to transform them to be more like him, and then living that out. That's how Jesus described the sheep. The sheep know the shepherd's voice and followed him. Every time I read that, I'm moved by the simplicity of it. So what's our part? How can we participate in this? I remember when Kelly and I, we were in the young family stage and finances were tight. And there were many months where it's like, I don't know if we're gonna have enough to cover the rest of this month. Sometimes our account went negative. It was very stressful. And in those times, we had our food collections. Right? It was before I was on staff here. And in my mind, I was like, oh, we'll be able to do that sometime in the future. But I remember watching Kelly grab a bag and put a couple cans in from our pantry, fill it up and bring it here. And if it was up to me, I probably wouldn't have done that. And I'm so grateful for her generosity. Because when it comes to giving, whether it's our time or our money, it's very easy to convince ourselves, well, I wanna give, but I'm gonna wait till maybe we're in a better financial situation. Or I'm gonna give of time, but I gotta wait till my schedule slows down a little bit because things are really busy right now. But, you know, that's not how the kingdom of God works. It starts right where you are with what you have. And when you see that number of how much has been given so far, some of that is from large gifts, some of it is from very small gifts. So the amount does not matter. It's this invitation of saying, okay, what's in our hand? What has God entrusted to us? How can we use it to advance his kingdom? I don't know what that is for you, but I do know that it can start right now with a step. So I actually want to just put those questions up for you to think about. And I want to encourage you to read Matthew chapter 25 this week. Reflect on it, meditate on it. Let God's word shape and transform your mind and your thoughts. And then ask this question, what's in your hand? How can you use it to advance God's kingdom? What's in your hand? How can you use it to advance his kingdom? It's an invitation, not a point of pressure, invitation for us to be part of what he's doing. If you want more information about this project or how to give toward it, you can go to our website, look for Matthew 25 Project. Lots of information there, opportunities to give. I encourage you to give monthly to it. But again, it's just an opportunity. And so I want us to pray over this. I want us to pray for the team at Illuminations and the translation team. And I want to pray for us as a church that we would have the humility and the courage to do what the Spirit of God may be prompting us to do. So let's pray. God, we come to you with so much gratitude. So thankful for how you're already moving. The impact that our giving can have, giving our time and our money, our skills, and how we can be part of your kingdom here on the earth. This kingdom of God that you created us to be a part of. That's what Matthew 25 says. And so God, we pray for the translation team as they day in and day out work at translating scripture into this new language. May your hand guide that. And God, we pray and thank you for the fruit that will take place. Many people, young and old, who have a Bible in their own heart language to know your truth that will set people free. And God, we lift up all of these other initiatives that are already taking place, food and baby supplies, support for foster families, support for families experiencing homelessness, many, many more needs that can seem daunting or discouraging to people. God, may we as a church see people, let you transform us to see people like Jesus did. He had compassion and he was moved to do something about it. And so I pray that we would have that same compassion that would move us to action. And it would simply start with saying, God, here's what you've entrusted to us. We're gonna use it for your kingdom. So we thank you for that. And God, I pray your blessing on every person as we take steps. May we see how you provide faithfully above and beyond what we could ask or think. And so we thank you for it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Amen. Well, so good being together. You know, next week is another Glory to God service. We have over 40 people who will be water baptized. And we're just going to make that a Glory to God service next week. Young people and older people. It's going to be a great time. So you don't want to miss that. If you need prayer for any reason, we're going to have a prayer team down front. Please feel free to come. Maybe you walked in here with something heavy on your heart. Have somebody pray with you. What you're facing may seem impossible, but God can do the impossible. Have somebody pray with you. If you have questions on what it is to have a personal relationship with Jesus, come talk to one of our prayer team members. We'd love to talk with you and pray with you. If you're new to Worship Center, I would encourage you to stop by Connections. It's the space to my right. I have a team of people there that would love to help you get connected. To my left, there's a space for our young adults, age 18 to 30. Want to help you get connected as well. Make sure you stop by there. Don't forget to pick up your devotional. It will start in 2 weeks, but we want to make sure you had it early enough in case you were thinking about getting one. So you don't want to read ahead. You might want to skim through, but it'll be a journey to walk through together as a church. And then Dana will also be in the fireside room. If you have any more questions or more interest in what Illuminations is doing, I mean, they have tons of these projects going on, amazing organization. I'd encourage you to stop by there and talk to him. All right, would you all stand? Let me just say and remind you, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for an incredible purpose. So go out this week, passionately pursue the purpose God has in your life. You'll be amazed at what God can do through you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you here next Sunday.